This is episode 288 of the Wrestling Brethren podcast. I'm your host, Josh Wiener, along with Seth Zillman and Jared Aubrey. And on this episode, we will be discussing and predicting AEW Double or Nothing. Hey, OJ Will, get us started.
What up? This is Josiah Williams, and you're listening to the Wrestling Brethren podcast, where wrestling and pop culture collide. Yeah.
Welcome into the show. It is episode 288, where we dive into Double or Nothing, the fourth Double or Nothing since the inception of AEW. And it's that time where Jared has to pretend like he's cramming for a hard test and do all his last minute studying. But Seth, Jared, how the hell are you?
Well, outside of it being a pretty hard rainfall out here, pretty darn good. And wouldn't this be, by the way, let's see, if there's double and triple and quadruple, it would just be like quintuple or nothing by now?
Depends on how much of a gambling man they are.
I guess so.
Oh, boys, it's good to be back in the version 2.0 of the Mobile Underground Bunker, talking to you fine gentlemen about the pro graps, and we got a big show coming up.
With that being said, the only news we're going to discuss briefly is that Tony Khan has stated he might have to pace the show a little differently if one of the NBA playoff series goes to a game 7, which means that it would air at 7:30 Central Time alongside Double or Nothing. So he would want to put, he said he would put all the good action in the second half of the show, which is a weird thing to say, but considering Boston's up 3-2 and game 6 is tomorrow as we record this, let's go Celtics. Let's not make it game 7 on Sunday.
I mean, it's a pay-per-view. I mean, I would imagine if you're going to watch a game and a pay-per-view, you're going to watch the pay-per-view probably after the game anyway, because at least in this day and age, you get something on pay-per-view and you get it on demand too. I mean, unless I'm missing something.
I do think that the comment by Tony's a little weird. Like, we're going to put all the good action on in the second half. So what is he saying to the people that he puts on in the first half that you're just...
Exactly.
Right. So I hope nobody takes that the wrong way, but there are a few matches that are expected to be like super big home runs. So I can kind of see what he's saying, but that was not the right way to say it.
Definitely. And the only thing that makes sense is he might bump some of these from the main show down to the pre-show, because he said he would consider doing something like he did for Revolution. So Revolution had 3 great matches, and it was almost like watching a Rampage episode before the pay-per-view itself. So if they have to do that, that's one thing versus quote-unquote putting all the good stuff at the end, which that doesn't make sense to me either, because if the game starts at 7:30, the climax of the game would run right up into the second half of the show anyway, so I don't know.
Not to mention all the partying and whatever afterwards if, you know, your team wins. So are they really going to sit down and watch a pay-per-view afterwards?
Yeah. Plus, I don't know how many NBA fans are wrestling fans and vice versa, but that's not for us to discuss. We are here to discuss the pay-per-view known as Double or Nothing. So let's get right into it. What's advertised for the buy-in show? A tag team match of Hookhausen, that's Hook and Danhausen, taking on Tony Nese and Smart Mark Sterling.
Now, if I heard correctly, I could be wrong, but I think I heard that the pre-show is only going to be a half hour this year rather than an hour, not this year, but for this show. And if that's the case, that they have to cram matches in and make them really short to put more than one on the buy-in. But as far as the match goes, this is straight up, I don't want to call it fodder, but it's probably going to be comedy. I have no doubt on this one. Hookhausen is going to win, and obviously Mark Sterling will be the guy that gets pinned. But I think it's going to be one of those things. It's going to be just kind of something for entertainment more than having a great match.
Yeah, I'm going with Hookhausen as well. It doesn't seem like there's much of a reason to go anywhere else. Tony Nese is being shown off fairly well, so yeah, I don't think he's going to take the loss. And please, we have a guy called Smart Mark, really? Wrestling? Yeah, okay.
I was wondering if anybody was going to comment on that.
Oh, yeah, I thought it dawned on all three of us at the same time.
Oh, that's why, yeah. As soon as I heard it, I chuckled, but that's fine. It's harmless. Based on the character, it's hilarious. Okay, for the AEW World Tag Team titles in a triple threat match, Jurassic Express defends against Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee, who now have merch, versus Team Taz, represented by Powerhouse Hobbs and Ricky Starks.
I'm not a big fan of three ways when it comes to tag matches, because it's that whole crutch of the champion can lose without being pinned. And I've gone on that rant before, so I don't need to do it again. But I do think that the Jurassics are losing this time around. I guess if I had to pick one, I'll go with Swerve and Keith Lee, because it would be kind of a breath of fresh air, you might say, new faces and all. Because I think this is kind of the next chapter in the slow burn heel turn by Christian. So I think this will lead to kind of Christian becoming frustrated and probably eventually turning on them.
I have to agree here. I think it's probably the right time for new champions. I mean, with it. The Luchasaurus, as they defended their Lucha Brothers, sorry. No, it's not Luchasaurus. Never mind. They've defended the title, six times? But it doesn't really feel like they've gone on a huge run. So maybe it's time for, like Seth said, some fresh air. And of the two other teams, I'm going to go with Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland as well.
I don't know if this is their official name, but I'm calling them Swerve in Their Glory, for the sake of predictions. But anyway, yeah, I do feel that we're going to get new champs. I originally made a prediction, and then I saw Keith Lee come down on Dynamite with a shirt that has the tag team on it, and if they're going to put merch into them, they're obviously not going to break up anytime soon. The only time that's ever happened is when they did the Chris Jericho, AJ Styles tag team. They gave them a shirt and then broke them up immediately. But I don't see that happening here, but I also don't see them winning the titles. I'm going with Team Taz, Powerhouse Hobbs, and Ricky Starks to win the titles.
Wow, it only took us, one match to disagree? Normally we're like halfway through the show before we finally disagree on something.
Okay, in a match that was just quote-unquote made official on Dynamite, even though everybody and their brother knew it was coming, MJF takes on Wardlow. If Wardlow wins, he is free from MJF's contract. If MJF wins, Wardlow can never sign a contract in AEW.
It's funny that you mentioned Y2J and the WWE bit, because I was actually thinking the same thing. I can't see them doing the angle where Wardlow cannot sign with the company, but just based on the heat this program's getting. And AEW has a very good track record when it comes to honoring their stips. If this was WWE and they did the thing where Wardlow couldn't sign with the company, it'd still probably have them losing, just have them sign anyway. Because they seem to do that from time to time, just have a stipulation and then never honor it. Or if this was like Crash TV era WWE, they'd have him lose, but then sign with somebody else, because I can just hear the promo now, you know. You said I couldn't sign with AEW, but you didn't say I couldn't sign with, you know, Arn Anderson or whatever, you know. So he gets his way around that so he can still wrestle for AEW. I don't think they'll do something like that. I think that Wardlow will win. How dominant he'll be, I don't know. I expect to see a boatload of interference and all the goons, maybe security guards and such. There might be a stipulation that MJF adds at the last minute to give him a numbers advantage or something to that effect. But yeah, I would be very surprised if Wardlow loses this.
Well, this is the part of the story itself, right? I mean, MJF's been trying to hold Wardlow down forever, and now he's fought his way back and ready to take him on. And you know, he's gained a whole bunch of momentum, and fans are behind him. And I mean, the story is written itself. This is the payoff to the whole story, right? Seth, you're right in that they could potentially swerve us and then kind of go around the stipulation later. I don't think that's going to happen. I think Wardlow has to win this one.
They do have something in their back pocket if they totally wanted to step on their own toes, and they could say Wardlow signs with Ring of Honor. But to me, that's just giving MJF more fodder for future promos that he had to sign with Ring of Honor. This has been one of the best built stories for like 3 years since the inception of the company and since MJF introduced Wardlow. So I'm glad they've shown the long-term storytelling on it, and we're finally going to get the payoff. I think Wardlow is going to powerbomb MJF like 10 times at least. So looking forward to that bump fest. So yeah, Wardlow to win. In a trios match, Death Triangle takes on the House of Black.
House of Black has been very dominant. I can't remember if they've lost yet or not. Maybe they've lost some singles matches or something, but this is one of those matches that could be a show-stealing match, although there's a lot of matches on this card that could be show-stealing. But I think it's time for the baby faces to get their shine. They'll win. I don't know who's going to pin who, but I'm thinking that the Death Triangle finally gets a win, and the feud may continue. The story may continue, but I think this is going to be one where the Death Triangle finally gets one up on the House of Blues. I mean, House of Black.
I'm not so sure. The Death Triangle's been kind of, you know, they've had some injuries. There's been travel problems that as a group, they've suffered a little bit, so I'm wondering if this is a good time to put House of Black over and then save the death triangle for when the trios title gets introduced and really push them as a leader in that area. So I'm actually going to go with House of Black this time.
I've watched a lot of YouTube videos leading up to these predictions, and one of them was from Cultaholic, and they were doing their 9 stories that they'd like to see unfold, not what they think would happen, but what they want to happen. And one of the pitches was for these two teams to go to war in this match, beat the hell out of each other, and then decide that they're better together and become like the House of Death or something, and then they're all one faction. I'm like, that's a bit much for me. So I'm not a fan of that idea, but I am picking House of Black to win. I don't think a loss hurts Death Triangle at this point. I think House of Black, with their inconsistent TV time recently, needs something to propel them forward. So I'm going with House of Black. In a tag team match that's being billed as The Elite versus The Delete, the Young Bucks take on the Hardys.
Again, this could be a show-stealing match. These guys wrestled each other quite a bit before the Hardys' most recent WWE run. They know each other very well. I don't know if they'll be able to work at that pace. Who knows? But I definitely think the Young Bucks are getting the win here because the Hardys, both Matt and Jeff, they're at that point in their careers. I think you could say they're over enough that they could lose, you know, 10 big matches in a row and they still probably stay over. So I think giving the Hardy Boy, giving the Hardy Boys the loss, having the Bucks beat them, I don't think it hurts the Hardys at all. So I think it's still kind of a win-win if the Bucks win.
Yep. I'm agreed with Seth here. For all those reasons, plus, you know, there's some other things too. Matt and Jeff are starting to slow down a little bit. The Young Bucks are still going super strong. There's also the Hardy Boys are WWE guys. Let's put our own guys over. So all that's kind of factoring into my decision. But I'm going to go with the Young Bucks for the victory.
I originally had the Young Bucks, and then I got to thinking that while they should be at the point of their career where they're putting people over, if they're going to have one final run and do this final, whatever they're calling it, their one last run together, and it culminates in a tag team title run, and at that point they start putting people over, well, in order to do that, they're going to start needing important victories because wins and losses matter in AEW. So for those reasons, and for the one final run, as Matt said, they are middle-aged and extreme. So I am going for the Hardys to pull this one off.
Well, maybe what'll happen is they'll have their match, and then they realize they're better off together, and they become like the Hardy Bucks or something.
Oh, jeez. God, that's like taking the previous idea.
Exactly. Wouldn't be surprised if... Wow, my joke was so bad, they're coming for me. Well, you hear that? But I do think, though, if they are going to do that collecting belts again or have that AEW run, boy, that makes a future match with FTR very interesting now, doesn't it?
Well, the thing is that if the Hardys win the AEW tag team titles, they can have one up on the Dudleys, saying that they've held the titles in every major promotion, and throw New Japan in there and all that stuff. So it's not like the Dudleys are going to reunite anytime soon. Anyway, moving on. Probably the easiest match on the whole card to predict for the AEW TBS title. Jade Cargill defends against Anna Jay.
AEW putting this match on the pay-per-view, I admit it was a little surprising to me. I mean, maybe Anna Jay's been doing a bunch of stuff on Dark that we haven't seen, so I don't know what she might have done to earn the shot, unless she earned it by coming out during Dynamite to stick up for her friends, but... Yeah, like you said, this is an easy one. I don't know how good the match will be. It'll probably by default be, I don't want to say worst, but between this and probably the buy-in match, it'll be the one that would be the least impressive in the ring, I think. But either way, yeah, there's no reason at all to take the title off Jade at this point. I think she's doing a phenomenal job of where she's at. Now, people say she's not the best wrestler and thus she isn't good or shouldn't have been Rookie of the Year. And I'm like, but she carries herself like a superstar. And that's ultimately what you need to be a star in wrestling. You have to be able to carry yourself like a star. And she does that in spades. So no reason to take the belt off her. I say Jade Cargill retains.
She is not the first, and she won't be the last person that can get by on more than just wrestling ability, right? So, but she's at the point, she's been on a tremendous run. And much like our tribal chief, and I'm not comparing the two in any way whatsoever, but she's been on one of those runs where they should really start looking at making the moment that she loses a big one and have it really mean something. And this isn't it right now. So definitely Jade's going to be retaining the title here.
It's almost like the person who will probably beat her is not even on the roster yet. Possibly. But I don't see anyone currently on the roster unless they start building them up that has a chance against Jade Cargill. Not only is she carrying herself like a superstar, they're treating her like a superstar. They could give the exact same push to any other babyface and have them then meet up somewhere down the line because they will have both been presented as important. Anna Jay got this match because she asked for it. That's some WWE shit going on. But yeah, Jade Cargill for the retention. It's not even a question. Nothing against Anna Jay, but it's not Anna Jay's time. Okay, the next two matches are rumored for this card. They may be announced or confirmed on Rampage, which is live for the go-home show, so there's not even any spoilers to confirm this, as Rampage was not taped after Dynamite. It is a live show on Friday. So we're going to cover them just in case. And if they change or if they don't come to fruition, well, then they'll be stricken from the record. One of the matches that has been reported and rumored for a long time, just not confirmed, is a mixed tag match featuring Sammy Guevara and Ty Conti versus either Scorpio Sky or Ethan Page and Paige Van Zandt. This would be Paige Van Zandt's in-ring debut. Could be changed to a TNT title match. You know, on Rampage, Scorpio Sky is supposed to be presented with his own new custom TNT title. I swear this promotion goes through more TNT titles than I don't know what. But we're going to predict for the mixed tag match. And if it changes to a TNT title match, then we'll get those predictions offline. But we're predicting Sammy Guevara and Ty Conti versus one of either Sky or Paige and teaming with Paige Van Zandt.
I know I've been giving a lot of baby faces wins in my predictions here. This is one of those where it's kind of both teams are heels, so I'm not sure which one to root for. That said, I think Sammy and Ty are probably going to cheat to win something. With this being Paige's first match, I don't know if she necessarily needs to win. Now, I'm not saying she's one getting pinned, but you know, I don't think she'd lose any, that team would lose anything by losing. You know, maybe Sammy gets the pin and that's his way to get another TNT title match. And I'm assuming the rules are going to be similar to like what most mixed tag matches are, which is can only be guys versus guys and women versus women, except for the cheap shots, of course. But if I had to flip a coin, if I had to choose one, I think I'm going with Sammy and Ty to win.
As much as I like Ty Conti, I'm also a big Paige Van Zandt fan from MMA. That side of her career, and I'm hoping that because it's her debut, that it's just let's put her over, let's get her ingratiated, let's give her a win in the debut. In, you know, this is nothing to do with wrestling, but I mean, in her weight class in MMA, she's a beast, and I hope that translates somehow into the ring, and they booked that appropriately. So whoever her partner is, I don't really care. I'm going to pick her partner and Paige Van Zandt to win this one.
As I've stated before, I cannot believe that AEW has made me dislike Ty Conti, but they've pulled it off. So my prediction is TBD and PVZ for the win.
Oh, yeah.
All right, in the second rumored match, which may or may not be confirmed on Rampage, it's a singles match that's built off the backstory that the Undisputed Elite pilmanized Stinger and took him out of FanFest for the weekend. And Darby Allin is going to be looking for his revenge. So the singles match proposed and rumored is Darby Allin versus Kyle O'Reilly. And if this doesn't come to fruition, it's a double or nothing without Darby Allin booked. So I'm willing to bet that this gets added.
That is a pretty safe bet. I think you're right. Again, I've been kind of babyface heavy with my predictions so far, I think. So if it does happen, I I think Darby's kind of in the same boat as the Hardys are, at least for AEW fans, where he can lose without losing his spot. So, yeah, I think Kyle O'Reilly's new to the company. But again, I'm not sure he could lose anything by losing. But if I had to pick one over the other, I think Kyle O'Reilly wins. And they really should keep the Undisputed Elite strong until Kenny comes back, because that's where the next chapter will begin as far as Kenny Omega. I'm sure he'll come back as a babyface. So I think from a long-term storyline perspective, it's probably better that Kyle O'Reilly win this.
Oh, for me, Kyle O'Reilly is just kind of generic thug number seven that you'd find in any movie credit. I've never gotten behind him, really, even with that big win over Adam Cole. So I don't know. I'm a big fan of Darby's. I like what he does, and I'm going to pick him to win.
Do not disrespect the name of generic thug number six. How dare you, sir? And 5-4 and 3-2 and 1. But anyway, yeah, with a match that has very to little, no build, and a weak storyline going in, I'm going to pick the guy that's going to pop the crowd with his moves. And I'm picking Darby Allin to win. In a match where they have not explained the rules or what will happen, and I don't even know if it's going to be a cinematic match or not, but in a match that's being called Anarchy at the Arena, and I'm really upset that we had a golden opportunity to have William Regal say Blood and Guts, and he didn't do it in his War Games cadence, and we have a 5-on-5 and we're not getting Blood and Guts, and this is the perfect time for Regal to do it, and they blew it. So anyway, Anarchy at the Arena, whatever that means, the Jericho Appreciation Society versus the Blackpool Combat Club of Jon Moxley and Bryan Danielson, along with Eddie Kingston and Proud and Powerful Santana and Ortiz. I guess Wheeler Yuta drew the short end of the stick. 5-on-5, whatever this match turns out to be, what are your thoughts?
Well, Wheeler Yuta is currently in the Best of Super Junior, so I don't think he'd be able to make it back in time. That's why he's not around. I think this is going to be kind of that match they had back in ECW days or some of the Nitro days where they just brawl all over the arena, you know, concession stand brawl and all that stuff. It essentially could be a similar thing to what Jericho wanted with the Stadium Stampede. They're just not calling it Stadium Stampede, I guess.
That was probably the best reaction I've ever seen out of a wrestler. Jon Moxley said, nah, I ain't doing that shit.
Yeah, because it's like what a wrestler would say to something that's a sports entertainment concept. But I do think that Jericho's team will win, not necessarily because it's a newly formed stable, but they're clearly pushing the buttons on the dissension between Danielson and Kingston. Maybe that will come into play. I can only hope that since it's called Anarchy in the Arena, that Tony Khan gets the rights to the Sex Pistols song, Anarchy in the UK, and they can blare that while everybody's coming out. Maybe, I don't know how many people will get that reference, but either way, I think Jericho's team is winning. We're going to have kind of the next chapter and Danielson and Kingston after that, and probably Kingston Jericho as well, because this is probably leading towards a Blood and Guts match. The last Blood and Guts match, if I recall correctly, was on regular TV. I think that was by design. They wanted to do it on regular TV. So my hunch is the heels win here, baby faces win the Blood and Guts match somewhere down the road.
Oh, boy. I don't know. I've never really gotten into the Jericho Appreciation Society. You can sound like I'm drunk. I've not had any drink, folks. Just Diet Pepsi. But there's the idea of sports entertainers versus pro wrestlers. Sports entertainers are not AEW, folks. Wrestlers are. This is pro wrestling. It's not sports. It's entertainment. Just for that, I don't know. And then plus, I'm really liking this version of Bryan Danielson. I'm always liked Mox. That team as a whole, I like more than the Jericho team. So I really don't know what's going to happen, but I'm just going to pick not Jericho's team to win.
Anybody but. All right. Well, I've already shared my thoughts on how much I loathe this gimmick and this faction. And again, I never thought I would hate anything that Jericho does, but I despise this with everything in my fiber. So I am picking the BCC and the NYC trio. So Blackpool Combat Club, Kingston, and Proud and Powerful. All right, let's get to the finals of the Owen Hart Foundation Cup tournaments. Reportedly, the winners will be getting a trophy and a customized title belt. So if that doesn't scream out something that the heels can carry around and gloat about, I don't know what does. But does that line up with our thinking and our predictions? So we'll start with the men first, because we actually have a conclusive final set already. In a match that, if you were a fan of NXT Black and Gold, you are excited because you are finally getting a resolution, Samoa Joe takes on Adam Cole Bebe.
I did have to think about this one for a while. Both these guys are awesome. I know that they beat Adam Cole at the last pay-per-view. So, again, I don't know if they want to try beating him again in second big show in a row. I don't know. Maybe they don't think about it that way. I think Cole is going to win. And, again, if Cole's going to win, again, it goes back to trying to keep the Undisputed Elite strong until Kenny Omega comes back. Plus, Joe's the pure champion. This could lead to a pure title match. Oh, no, it was the TV champion, isn't it? Yeah, correct. No, you just the
correct.
Yeah. So, yeah, so it could lead to an ROH TV championship match between Cole and Joe down the road, and who wouldn't want to see a rematch?
This kind of sucks, because in my heart of hearts, I want Samoa Joe to win. I really do. These guys are going to have a fantastic match. And Joe is going to look great no matter what happens. The thing that got me on this one was Adam Cole had those two losses to Paige. Like, he needs a big win. So let's give him this one. Adam Cole is going to win, baby.
I'm going to read you my tweet that I put out on Twitter last night. Even though AEW won't acknowledge it, there's unfinished history between Samoa Joe and Adam Cole from when Joe was the enforcer in NXT Black and Gold, and I'm here for it. For those of you who may remember, Joe decked Adam Cole backstage and then put him in the coquina to keep the peace or to stop a brawl backstage, and we never got to the point where we could get a Joe Cole match in NXT, but now we are getting it in AEW, and I am excited for this match. This is going to be hard hitting. I agree with Jarrett that I wish we could give it to Samoa Joe, but he already has one title. He doesn't lose it if he loses here. And if the rumors are true that the winner of the tournament is getting a custom-made title belt, nobody but Adam Cole, well, maybe MJF, but other than Adam Cole could carry that off and be super braggadocious heel about it, better than Adam Cole Bebe. So for those reasons and those reasons alone, I am picking and completing the trifecta of Adam Cole, baby. For the women's final of the Owen Hart Foundation tournament, we don't have a conclusive final as of yet. We do know that one of the participants is Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, and she will face the winner of the match on Rampage between Ruby Soho and Chris Statlander. So if you're picking Britt, you don't really have to, you know, obviously we're not, it's not a dual prediction. You don't have to predict Friday's winner. But obviously, if you're picking that person to win the tournament, you do have to go forward with that.
Yeah, this is one of those where it does affect my vote. So I'll just give you each possibility here. If Ruby makes it to the finals, I think Ruby's winning. It's time to give her a high-profile win. As I know, people have noticed that she kind of fell off for a couple weeks at a time after her debut. If it's Chris Statlander, I actually think that Britt will retain. So if it's Ruby, I say Ruby wins. If it's Statlander, I say Britt Baker wins.
That is known as hedging your bets.
I'm kind of with Seth, though. As if Chris Statlander wins, then A, how could you possibly have Chris Statlander beat Ruby Soho? And then B, why would you possibly have Chris Statlander beat Ruby Soho? But if whatever stars and planets align, pun intended, and she does win, then I'm going to go with Britt Baker. And if Ruby wins, that's a tougher call, but I'm going to go with Ruby. I think Britt has, she's had a really good run, and I think maybe perhaps someone else needs some time at the top. She can hang out for a bit, so she doesn't need to be back, you know, in the limelight right now. So I'm going to go with Ruby if she wins that match.
Okay, I can see the line of thinking, but I'm taking it one step further because I'm going to be uber confident that Ruby Soho is going to win. So I am saying Ruby Soho wins this tournament also, because Britt Baker does not need this win. People are talking about, oh, it's going to be the power couple that wins the tournament. Yeah, I don't buy it. Adam Cole needs that custom title to be braggadocious about, where Britt can maintain her character without an extra title. Plus, she just came off a long title run. It would be detrimental to other women in this division if they gave this to Britt Baker. I think she's in the finals as a red herring to get everybody to predict that she's going to win. And if you're not going to build up somebody to take the TBS title off of Jade, then you might as well give this to Ruby and have Britt Baker be the one that beats Jade, because she's the only one that with any credibility at this point. So I would say the only other thing that would make sense, and this is just a sidebar real quick, is if Nia Jax decided she wanted to continue wrestling again and she was a mystery opponent for Jade Cargill, then I could see somebody of that stature and size beating Jade Cargill on a surprise. But other than that, they really need to take the time to build somebody. And I'll get to how you do that in the next match. But I'm picking Ruby Soho to win the tournament. For the AEW Women's title, Thunder Rosa defends against the Professor, Serena Deeb.
I'm pretty confident that Thunder Rosa is going to win this. Serena Deeb's had a heck of a run. I mean, she had that long-running feud with Hikaru Shida. I don't know if we'll see Shida at the pay-per-view. Maybe we will. But Thunder Rosa, I think they are kind of strapping the rocket pack to her. So I see no reason to take the title off. I'm pretty confident that Thunder Rosa will win this match.
I don't really need to beat that into the ground anymore. I'm completely in agreement with Seth for the same reasons. Thunder Rosa retains.
The only thing I'm going to add is Serena Deeb is how you build up a credible competitor and challenger. I would love for Serena Deeb to win this match and the title, because I think she's deserving of it with the amount of work she's put in. But it's just not the time to take off the title off of Thunder Rosa, even though I'm not a huge fan of Thunder Rosa. I think they spent way too long to tell the story of her getting the title from Britt Baker to just have her lose it this quickly. However, if Serena were to win, I would be completely okay with that. Serena is how you take the time to build somebody up and have them be credible. So they've shown that they can do it. They just need to do it with somebody in line to challenge for the TBS title. In the main event, for which I am interested in hearing on who's predicting who and for what reason. For the AEW World title, Hangman Adam Page defends against CM Punk.
This one, I'm not even trying to make a joke or overemphasize or anything like that. This is one of the hardest matches for me to pick in recent memory, because there are perfectly logical reasons for this to go a myriad of ways. It could be logical for Page to retain. It's logical for Punk to win. It's logical for it to be a one and done. It could be logical for this to be a feud. So kind of like what you're saying about the women's match, this is one of those where no matter who wins, I think I'm going to be cool with it. I actually think Hangman's been pretty underrated in his title ring because he's had great matches with everybody for many months now. But at the same time, I think Punk unquestionably is the bigger star and could potentially still draw some eyeballs to the product. But when I can't seem to decide what I think I will see, I guess I have to default back to what I would do or what I would want to see. And I think we are getting hints here. I think this is something that will look very logical in hindsight. I was talking about the slow burn heel turn for Christian. I think we're getting another slow burn heel turn here, only this time I think Punk's turning heel. I think the time, I don't know if it's the right time, but I'm thinking Punk's the one turning heel because he went into this whole thing of, oh, it's not personal, it's just business. And that's usually a heel line. So I could definitely see Punk taking the cheap shot, or maybe Hangman wins. He offers the handshake like Punk said you would. And that's when Punk cheap shots him or something like that. But I think Punk is turning heel in this. I have that gut feeling for this feud, but even still, I'm predicting Hangman to retain.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in this one. There's kind of Hangman's acting a little, not, I don't know if you'd call it outright heelish, but he's been aggressive and nasty towards Punk. You know, Punk's kind of been a little bit smarmy and he's been angry back. And you have folks like Eddie Kingston calling Punk a snake in the grass. Folks are wondering if CM Punk is just kind of laying the seed here. And then once, you know, if he wins this match, then he's going to kind of break out as a smarmy, jerky guy again. My thought is that if they're going to put the title on CM Punk at any time, then I think now is probably the appropriate time and give him a run before he's done. I don't know how much longer he has. He says he's back for a while, but I mean, he's not getting any younger. So if they're going to do it, I think this is the right time. Now, that being said, I think Hangman's run, his chase has been much more successful than his title reign. And he's been much more boring as champ, I think, than it was in the build up to him being champ. So put all that together, I'm going to go out on a little bit of a limb here. I think we're going to have and new, and CM Punk is going to be our new AEW champion.
I agree with all the previous points made. I do think this could go any number of ways. I also think that there will be some New Japan invasion to close the show and give it that AEW OMG moment. But I don't think it's going to play into the conclusion of this match. I think it's going to wait until afterwards, kind of when we might even have the winner of the match with the belt with their arms in the air, and all of a sudden the lights go out and the lights come back on and we get, I don't know, Okada, something. But I think that I agree with the statement that Hangman's chase was much more interesting than his title reign. His title reign seems to be defined by, hey, that was a 5-star Hangman Adam Page match. Hey, that was a 5-star Adam Page match. Hey, that was another great match.
And, you're not wrong.
And that's it. There's no story behind it. And it's just a guy having great matches and retaining the title. So I think I'm going to agree that now is the time to crown a new champion. And I think CM Punk, face or heel, as the AEW World Heavyweight Champion, unlocks so many more matches and storylines that it just makes sense to pull the trigger now. Because as champion, he can go one of two ways. He can either continue to be the babyface and give opportunities to the younger talent to have title matches that normally would not have had title matches. And he could also intermix in matches with main event level heels. Or if he turns heel, you can then have main event level matches with babyface talent who, you know, have been waiting for their, you know, their shot, but they haven't been able to get that TV time or storyline. So, or he can just continue to be face or heel depending on who his opponent is. Kind of like every time they go to Long Island, Punk is the de facto heel because MJF is the de facto babyface. So all that being said, I will agree with Jarrett that I am picking CM Punk to win the world title. And not part of my prediction, but there will be some New Japan shenanigans after this match, probably. I will also sidebar and say that while I'm not familiar with Jeff Cobb's tag team partner that showed up on Dynamite, I will say that Tour of the Islands is probably one of my favorite names for a finishing move. And it was good to see Jeff Cobb back on AEW TV. So I'm excited for this show. Can't wait to see. Hopefully it'll be 5.5 to 6 hours that flies by and you don't realize the time, but there are a lot of matches on this card. So final thoughts. What do you guys think of this show and are you looking forward to it?
Oh, definitely looking forward to it. I know it makes me sound like a fanboy when I say it, but their track record for pay-per-views is second to none. I mean, they've all been great. I don't think I've seen a bad big show from AEW. Some of them better than others, of course. So, yeah, I'm pumped for this. Looks like it's going to be a great card. It is kind of funny. You actually put some seeds of doubt in my head there, Josh, when you're talking about Wardlow, that, well, he could lose and then just sign with Ring of Honor. I mean, I suppose they could do that to get around it. But that I'm not changing my pick because of that. But it just, I didn't actually think of that it would be Ring of Honor that he signs with. I, of course, would be down to clown if New Japan guys show up. We know there's still several of them in the country because we saw Great O'Khan and Jeff Cobb. I think Great O'Khan kind of reminds me of the NES Pro Wrestling game. What was the character? King Karn or something like that. I think his looks kind of remind me of him. But yeah, there's not a bad show on this card. There's some matches that aren't going to be groundbreaking, aren't going to be must-see, but they'll be entertaining. So yeah, I'm definitely pumped for the show. Can't wait for it to start. And of course, I'm going to have to watch it on a replay because my type of job, I'm going to be working that night. So hopefully I'll be able to stay off social media long enough.
I'm pretty sure the last time I watched an AEW pay-per-view, and I'm glad I can say pay-per-view and not the other acronym, I was burnt out 2/3 of the way through the show because the action was great. The wrestling was great. And more of that's going to happen on this show. There's several matches on this card that should be outstanding to excellent. And I can't wait to watch it. Looking forward to it for sure.
When you said, Seth, that they put on pay-per-view shows that are second to none, it's almost like they're takeover-esque. And when you think about that, I just happened to count while you guys were giving your final thoughts. There are 13 wrestlers on this card that either were in or passed through NXT, and that includes Dr. Britt Baker having a couple of cups of coffee. So 13 of these wrestlers have come through NXT and are now on an AEW pay-per-view, including capping off a NXT feud with Joe and Cole that we never got. So that being said, I too am looking forward to the show. At least it's not an 8-hour show where you're looking forward to Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, and Ronda Rousey. And if you were on the East Coast, you had to wait till the clock struck midnight before you even got to that main event. So hopefully we don't have anything that long. I don't think it will be. It may feel like it at times, but it will not take us to the top of the next day. So with that being said, next week we will review Double or Nothing. We will get into any news that may have transpired. And once again, thank you for listening, downloading, and subscribing. And we will talk to you next time. Thank you for listening to this episode. You can subscribe to the Wrestling Brethren podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, or wherever you get your podcast fix to hear the latest discussion from the Wrestling Brethren. You can visit us at twbpodcast.com for posts and episodes. Visit the mothership, if you will, at behindthesquaredcircle.com, home of the Behind the Squared Circle podcast network. Let us know your thoughts, questions, and comments at Twitter at TWBPShow, on Facebook at facebook.com/behindthesquaredcircle, and on Instagram at The Wrestling Brethren. You can follow Jarrett on Twitter at TheBaconRev, and you can follow Josh at SouthpawJosh. Thank you again for listening, and we will talk to you again soon with more from The Wrestling Brethren.